John Eliot and the Indians, 1652-1657, being letters addressed to Reverend Jonathan Hanmer of Barnstaple, England. Prologue. The letters of John Eliot were printed here belong to the period when he was most actively engaged in his work among the Massachusetts Indians. They were addressed to the Reverend Jonathan Hanmer, minister of the church at Barnstaple in Devonshire, whose interest in Mr. Eliot's labors had been enlisted by mutual friends. July 27, 1649, of the Corporation for the Propagation of the Gospel among the Indians in New England. The efforts of the new corporation were at once directed to the raising of funds for the purchase of tools and other necessities required in the building of the new town. It was at this stage of affairs that Mr. Hanmer wrote to Mr. Eliot on March 12, 1652, announcing that an unnamed gentleman, parenthesis, Mr. capital S-P-E-A-C-O-T, unparenthesized, had made a liberal gift of £50, which would be laid out in such commodities as were most desired. Mr. Eliot replied in two letters, dated July 19th and October 7th, 1652, as follows. The letters, Roxbury, July 19th, 1652. Reverend and dear sir, I have received your letters dated March 12, 1651. Footnote. As the legal year began at that time on March 25th, it would be reckoned as 1651 up to March 24th, but would be called 1652 according to our present reckoning. Wherein the Lord hath made you an unexpected instrument and a messenger of encouragement and supply upon this work of the Lord among these poor Indians, and that it may be when expected helps may be more slow, that so the Lord might please to show himself the only guide and provider for his people in all their ways. I desire to acknowledge the Lord herein, who hath never failed me in this work of his. It is meet that I should inform you of the state of this work, that your prayers may be, with the more particular faith and fever, be breathed forth at the throne of grace in the behalf of this work and those which labor therein. I cannot be so particular as I would, by reason of straits of time, the ship being quickly to sail after I have received your letters. If the Lord give you opportunity of going to Exeter, E-X-C-E-S-T-E-R, or of intercourse with Reverend Mr. Nichols, by him you may hear somewhat more than I can now write unto yourself. The Reverend ministers and Christian people there haven't been these 2 years contributors towards this work, and by whose supply a great part of the work for the civil part in charges and expenses have been carried on. After several years preaching to them, the Lord opened their heart to desire baptism to seal up pardon of their sin and to desire church estate and ministry, whereby to enjoy all God's ordinances and to enjoy cohabitation in civil government as subservient unto and greatly conducting unto these spiritual ways and mercies. In this order they have been taught they must have visible civility before they can rightly enjoy visible sanctity and ecclesiastical communion. Hence we look out a place fit for to begin a town where a competent number of people might have subsistence together. In the year 1650 we began that work through rich grace. In the year 1651, in a day of fasting and prayer, they entered into a covenant with God and each other to be ruled by the Lord in all their affairs civilly, making the Word of God their own Magna Carta for government, laws, and all conversation, and choose rulers of tens, fifties, and of a hundred, the platform of which holy government of God's own institution. I have sent over this year unto Mr. Nichols, with the Reverend Elders in Exxon. And if the Lord give you opportunity, I should gladly wish yourself might also have a sight of it, that I might receive your animadversions on it. But in my poor thoughts, I apprehend it would be a mercy to England if they should, in this terms of lines, take up what form of government, which is a divine institution, and by which Christ should reign over them by the word of his mouth. But I forget myself. I am speaking of the Indians, whom I desire to train up, to be the Lord's people only, ruled by his word in all things. And the Lord hath blessed them in this their government, and guided them in judgment. This present year the Lord seemeth to ripen and prepare them for Holy Church covenant, whereby they give up themselves to be governed by the Lord ecclesiastically and all his ordinances and church administrations. But I shall walk by good advice before I do this. They are now building themselves a meeting house, which, when it is made, it may please the Lord to call them forth to be built a spiritual house unto the Lord. Touching what you say of my writings for a supply of books for my brethren, M.A.H.U., it is true I did so. But soon after, the Lord was pleased to offer a comfortable supply both to him and me also. For I bought two libraries of two ministers who left us, and they are both paid for by the corporation in London. And my brother Mahieu hath been possessed of his a good while. Besides, the Reverend Elders, ministers of Exxon, have sent unto us new supply, and this year they sent unto us the second edition of the new annotations upon the whole Bible, so that through the riches of God's bounty he is now supplied. But what particular books he may further want, I cannot tell you. Sir, you make mention of a liberal gift of a religious gentleman, whose name I hope I shall hereafter know, that I may express my thankfulness in a few lines unto him. And whereas you require to know in what commodity it may be most suitable laid out, I answer in two commodities chiefly. First, in strong woolen cloth, canvas, another good hempen cloth, and lock rooms, because in the hot summers the Indians delight to go in linen and work, if in any garment, only a linen garment, if they can get it. Secondly, in red, blue, or white cottons, coarse and thick, some call it trading cloth, which is the coarsest and some better. Only these two sorts of commodities are best for the present. The way of sending may be by ships from Barnes Staple, who have often recourse hither, and by some Bristol ships, who also trade hither. If by London, then there is a faithful friend of mine, Mr. B-U-L-C-H-E-R, who will convey any such things to me. But it may be the goods had better be taken up in your country than to be bought in London. Sir, I do also request this, that if any ships come from Barnstaple, you would please to appoint some or other discreet and godly man, able to judge wisely and discern, to set apart so much time as to see with his eyes and hear with his own ears how the matters are here carried, and what is done among the Indians. And should he have a good allowance for his pains, it would tend much to the furtherance of our work and comfort of our hearts. And may you please to communicate this, my motion, to Reverend Mr. Nichols, and consider what were wisdom to be done in this case. Nay, if some of the churches should send forth a minister and other faithful brethren, on purpose to visit and comfort and encourage such a work, I see not but it were a worthy work, and well becoming the spirit of the gospel. But I can now go no further. I do humbly bless the Lord for the prayers that are made in all the churches in the behalf of this work and us that labor in it. I beg for the continuance thereof, and so commending you and all our holy labors unto the Lord, and to the blessing of his grace I rest. Your unworthy fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, John Eliot, Roxbury, this 19th of the 5th, 1652, addressed to his reverend and much respected brother, Mr. Hammer, minister of the gospel at Barnes Staple in Devonshire. These, I pray leave these letters with Mr. John Clark, merchant at Mr. Dunn's house in Blackwell Hall, to be sent safely as it is above written.